Hello and welcome to AARP Magazine, brought to you by OWL Radio, a community service of the Low Vision Resource Center. I'm Jeff Chandler, and for the next half hour, I will be reading articles from AARP Magazine. Let's get started with articles from the mail section of the magazine. These are letters from readers to the magazine. The first is Wild by Viola. The December-January issue featuring Viola Davis was one of your best. The title of that article was The Prime of Miss Viola Davis. She certainly appears to be at the pinnacle of her career. Her performances are always impressive and soul-stirring. She also realizes her platform is large and her voice is credible. She's not ashamed to share her journey because she realizes the importance in her message. I can't praise her enough for her recent performance in the role of Ma Rainey. The Oscar buzz around this role is definitely more than idle gossip. I wish her many more years of success on screens, both large and small. And that came in from reader Linda Robertson from Richmond, California. The next one is John Lennon on Our Minds. Thank you for sharing this moving tribute on the 40-year anniversary of John Lennon's death, titled The Night John Lennon Died. I was watching Monday Night Football when I heard the news. The tragedy still hurts today. That's from Giselle Strauch, Brooklyn, New York. Another, to those of us who grew up with the Beatles and John Lennon, his death was devastating. Terrible loss, terrible tragedy. That one's from Barbara O'Conn, Holsiger, Facebook. Such a sad day that was. John brought so much light to the world through his music. May he continue to rest in peace. That's from Martha Hoffman on Facebook. A musical genius, an icon. He may have been a difficult man sometimes, but he never deserved what happened to him, and neither did his wife and young child. That's from Patty Amato, also from Facebook. The next piece to the mail, Miles to Go. It has been a very long road with many more miles to go for women in America. Some things have not changed. The company I worked for had almost all male leaders. Women didn't lead any of the departments. Maybe my grandchildren will see a change. That's from Shelley Murphy in Fremont, Michigan. The next is Power of Prayer. Sanjay Gupta's article, How to Build a Resilient Brain, needs a step six, pray. Whatever religion, whatever belief, prayer is needed. Praying calms a person and tunes out the noise. That's from Marion Wisniewski of Latrobe, Pennsylvania. And the last one, simply the best. What a wonderful attitude and inspiring message. What I know now, Tina Turner. Tina Turner is a shining example of living out the phrase, when life hands you lemons, make lemonade, an expression that shines light on troubled times. Thank you for the inspiration. And that's from Paul Brown, Santa Ana, California. Our next article is from the Upfront section, the A-List, Seven Things Norma Kamala Says to Do Now. Being flexible is critical for both the body and the mind. When you're flexible, you're able to adjust to new challenges. When you're inflexible, you break. And that's from Norma Kamala, age 75. The first part, go low. When I started working from home last March, I thought, I really don't want to put shoes on. Now I wear slides and socks to work. This is my uniform. Number two, start over. To stay relevant, you have to be willing to change. I've just retooled my whole company and even put together a new category of clothing called day pajamas for people working from home. Number three, mask up. When the pandemic ends, things won't go back to the way they were. I get allergies in May and September, but I didn't have them last year because I was wearing a mask. Guess who's going to wear a mask in May and September from now on? Number four, go fast. Intermittent fasting, for example, going 12 or 14 hours without eating, helps my body function better. You're giving your body time to rest and repair itself. Number five, plan your Z's. A good night's sleep is the most invigorating thing. You look better, you feel better, your brain works better. And number six, plan ahead. If I had had a handbook when I was younger on what to expect from life, I would have been so grateful. So I decided to write one. I am invincible. 20-year-olds who read the book will get a big view ahead, and I hope the 75-year-olds who read it will see that they have power. They have promise. How cool is that? And number 7, bide your time. I married and divorced young. For years, I thought romantic love was for other people. Then at age 65, I met my soulmate, and now we're engaged. I would not have been ready for this person earlier in my life. So if you're looking for a partner, be kind to yourself. Maybe like me, your schedule is different. And this was as told to Margaret Guroff. Pioneering fashion designer Norma Kamala is the author of a new book, I Am Invincible. Our next article, also from Upfront, entitled Eat, Shake Up Your Salt. Your recipe repertoire just got a savory upgrade. Used in cooking for millennia, salt is now trendy. Choose the right variety to add dimension to any dish, from casseroles to cookies and cocktails. This is by Kelsey Ogletree. So there's 6 types of salt listed here, and I'm going to tell you what it is and how to use it. First, let's start with sea salt. It's evaporated seawater with trace minerals that impart rich flavor. How to use it? You can finish dishes or top baked treats, such as chocolate chip cookies. The next one is smoked salt. Sea salt with a distinct color and flavor achieved by cold smoking it over embers. And you can use it to finish dishes with smoky flavor, like roasted vegetables or grilled meats, or to rim cocktails. The next one is kosher salt. It has fewer additives and a larger crystal size than table salt. And you can use it for cooking and baking, add it to pasta water, or sprinkle over steak before searing. The next one is pink salt. It's a Himalayan version, mined in Pakistan, and it is common there. It's mainly sodium chloride with trace minerals like potassium, magnesium, and calcium. And you can use it to finish dishes. It adds a nuanced flavor. The next one is fleur de sel, a form of sea salt harvested by hand from the crust of saltwater ponds, the champagne of salts, and it comes with a matching price tag. And you can use it to finish dishes or as a condiment, but use it sparingly. And lastly, black salt. It's mined in Asia, has trace minerals that lend a distinctive flavor. And you can use it in Asian dishes or in vegan cooking to add egg-like flavor. And next, you can freeze these. Really? Your freezer is one of the most underrated kitchen tools, says David Lee, co-founder and executive chef of Planta restaurants in Miami and Toronto. But like any tool, it needs to be mastered. Proper, airtight packaging is crucial to locking in flavor and texture. For pro tips on prep for these surprisingly freezable items, go to aarp.org/freezefood. And some of the things that you can freeze that I didn't know you could freeze, such as avocados, citrus fruit, milk, parboiled pasta, steamed greens, fresh herbs, and hard cheese. Our next article continues our look at Upfront, and this one's under Watch. How Black Churches Became a Creative Force. Henry Louis Gates, Jr., age 70, explores the roots of African-American culture. The Black Church has been close to Henry Louis Gates, Jr.'s heart since he became a believer at age 12. When his mother was very sick. The historian and host of the PBS series Finding Your Roots says, I prayed to God that if she came home from the hospital, I would give my life to Christ. And a few days later, miraculously, she came home. I looked in the mirror and said, uh-oh. Gates laughs and adds, so I joined the church. Now, in a fascinating PBS documentary that he wrote, produced, and hosts, The Black Church, This Is Our Story, This Is Our Song, February 16th and 23rd, check your local listings. He takes his passion for the church and exploring ancestry to a new level with a series about the complex role the church has played in the lives of African Americans over 400 years. Interviewing cultural influencers such as Oprah Winfrey, age 67, and Jennifer Hudson, and a long list of Black religious leaders, he makes a convincing case that the church has been the driving creative force behind African American spirituality, politics, and entertainment for centuries. The product of enslaved people adopting Christianity and adapting it in ways that reflected themselves, it became an indispensable sanctuary, Gates says, that represents healing, forgiveness, and unity. The film, he says, is my homage to the ancestors who made a way out of no way. This was an article by Christina Ianzito. I think I butchered that name. Christina Ianzito. Next, Michelle Pfeiffer makes a lovely French exit. Once Catwoman, Oscar nominee is now a fancy cat lady. Michelle Pfeiffer, age 62, plays a socialite with a talking cat in French Exit. What's the former Catwoman doing playing a cat lady with put-downs icier than her martinis? Enjoying her flashiest role since 1989 to 1993, when she was Oscar-nominated for Dangerous Liaisons, The Fabulous Baker Boys, and Love Field. Says Pfeiffer, I'm never going to be one that retires. And this was by Tim Appello. Our next article, still from Upfront, under What I Know Now. Ellen Burstyn, the actress on Alice, Grief, and the Importance of Kindness. Any other name? I've changed my name 8 times. I was born Edna Ray Galuli. My mother had 3 husbands by the time I was 7, so the name kept changing. After I got famous, I couldn't change it anymore. Too many names were flying around. United States. I was a child in World War II and remember collecting scrap metal and newspaper in my wagon for the war effort. We all pulled together. Whatever bad thing there is, there's the other side, too. How people respond and don't get defeated by it. I know we're going to be okay. Role model. The inspiration of my life is my acting teacher, Lee Strasberg. I was a mess from Detroit, getting hired for my looks. I noticed Marlon Brando, James Dean, and Kim Stanley. They knew something. I went to Lee and he stripped me down to my essence. Us too. When I started out, everybody on set was a white man except the actress and the script girl. Slowly, they brought in women. They brought in Black people, Asian people, gay people. 60 years later, women are producers, directors, and grips. The change is remarkable. But real cultural change takes real effort and time. Oscar turn. During the 70s women's movement, female characters were either the loyal wife who stayed home while the husband saved the world, the prostitute with a heart of gold, or the victim who was raped and murdered. I said, no, I want to do a movie about the women I know. Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore gave voice to women bringing up children alone, getting jobs, and breaking glass ceilings. On lockdown, I stay indoors except for 1 hour a day when I walk in the park. I'm coping, but have dips. One day I had a sinking feeling of loneliness, and a frisbee landed near me. I handed it to a little girl who said thank you, and my spirit lifted. I'd made a connection with another human being. Kindness is really an important element of human interaction, you know. The Exorcist. I passed a group of people the other day, and a man said, Ellen Burstyn. I said, how can you recognize me with this mask on? He said, I've seen The Exorcist over 40 times. Your eyes are very familiar. And lastly, staying spry. What are you willing to do or to give up to stay vital? I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't do drugs. I eat healthily and I exercise. I just got a new stationary bike. You have to do the things that will get you there. And this story was told to Natasha Stoyanov. Ellen Burstyn is an Oscar, Emmy, and Tony Award-winning actress. She's 88 years old and she co-stars in Pieces of a Woman, which premiered on Netflix back in January. Now let's go to an article called The TV Shows That Changed America. At its best, a show doesn't just entertain, it opens eyes, sparks conversation, stirs the pot, makes us reflect. Inspired by the 50th anniversary this year of the groundbreaking All in the Family, AARP's media critic Tim Appello makes his picks of the TV series that have had the greatest influence on our collective culture, and by extension, on each of us. Barrier-breaking sitcoms. Number one, All in the Family, from 1971 to 79. Liberals and conservatives alike loved Archie Bunker's un-PC malapropisms. The show, which was unlike any other up to its time, openly tackled subjects such as Vietnam, infidelity, race relations, homosexuality, women's liberation, and menopause. Next, The Golden Girls, from 1985 to 1992. What? Four single women over 50 and they're having the time of their lives. Every belly laugh struck a blow for the dignity of aging. Next, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, 1990 to 1996. Featuring Will Smith, it was one of the first shows where black kids could see a Malcolm X poster like the one on their own bedroom wall. Will and Grace, 1998 to 2006, and then again from 2017 to 2020. An indelible portrait of true friendship, this show offered primetime TV's first gay lead character. And then Ugly Betty, 2006 to 2010. Telenovelas long ruled Latin American TV, and this adaptation of Colombian soap Yo Soy Betty La Fea, starring America Fiera, was the first to conquer American hearts and funny bones. Next, why we absolutely had to buy cable. Number one, The Sopranos, 1999 to 2007. The first mob drama on par with The Godfather and Goodfellas, which it shared 27 cast members. Next was The Wire, 2002 to 2008. Created by a former reporter and an ex-cop, it was a nervy, realistic portrait of Baltimore in the grip of a cocaine and heroin epidemic. Mad Men, 2007 to 2015. The stylish period piece made Madison Avenue cool again and launched John Hamm and Elizabeth Moss to fame and fortune. Next, Breaking Bad, 2008 to 2013. A Mr. Chips-like schoolteacher dying of cancer becomes a Scarface-like meth lord and a crime thriller with a deep moral inquiry. And lastly, Game of Thrones, 2011 to 2019. The fantastically complex fantasy about battling royals whisked us all to another world. Next, just laugh out loud funny. The Carol Burnett Show, 1967 to 1978. It's now a streaming hit. I dare anybody over 45 not to laugh their pants off at it. Tim Conway and Harvey Korman's dentist sketch, Carol Burnett tells AARP. Laugh-In, 1968 to 1973, the kitschy sketch comedy show spawned such catchphrases as "Suck it to me." Next, Monty Python's Flying Circus, 1969 to 1974. The Pythons' startled BBC boss complained that the anarchic clowns were continually going over the edge of what is acceptable, and the viewers followed. Saturday Night Live, 1975 to present. The cast has tapped squarely into the zeitgeist for 45 years now, offering a live comedy high-wire act with no net that has showcased a who's who of the funniest actors in America, among them Bill Murray, Tina Fey, Eddie Murphy, Will Ferrell. Cheers, from 1982 to 1993. Who knew that a bar life in Boston, where everybody knows your name, could be so funny. And lastly, Seinfeld, 1989 to 1998, a sitcom about nothing more than human foibles and the infuriating minutiae of everyday life on Manhattan's Upper West Side. Next, and why streaming is challenging cable. First, The Crown, 2016 to the present, a deep, revealing peek inside the castles and quarrels of Queen Elizabeth II, Princess Diana, and company. It's fact-based, though no soap opera was ever soapier. The Handmaid's Tale, 2017 to the present. This adaptation of the 1985 novel about a future totalitarian America that sexually enslaves women caught a rising wave of real-world feminist activism. And next, The Marvelous Ms. Maisel, 2017 to the present. In the best time capsule show since Mad Men, a posh Manhattan housewife discovers her gift for stand-up. I'll do one more. Programs that stoked our thirst for competition. Wide World of Sports, from 1961 to 1998, we all relished the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. Jeopardy, 1964 to 75, 1978 to 79, and 1984 to the present. The longest-running quiz show beat the competition because, as the late Alex Trebek said, it tends to reward and encourage learning. Monday Night Football, 1970 to the present. At 50, it's a mainstay of primetime sports television. Survivor, 2000 to the present, about unknowns in exotic locales betraying one another for money. It hit a nerve, spurred more reality TV, and spoke volumes about our competitive society. The Bachelor, 2002 to the present. Really? Who would watch a show where a guy rejects many sobbing women and proposes to one? Answer, everyone. And lastly, American Idol, 2002 to the present. TV's number one show for 6 years in a row, this competition delivered Jennifer Hudson, Carrie Underwood, and dozens of hit singles. Let's keep going. Revealing a reality very few of us were familiar with. Cops, 1989 to 2020. Black Lives Matter protest ended this much-copied show, which ran for 31 years and featured real police officers often violently busting real, often black people. The Jerry Springer Show, 1991 to 2018. Cincinnati's ex-mayor beat Oprah Winfrey as the number one talk show host and made TV and the U.S. wilder and weirder than ever. The Real World, 1992 to the present. MTV's breakthrough documentary series turned the camera on seven strangers chosen for incompatibility to be roommates so viewers could see what happens when people stop being polite. And lastly, Keeping Up with the Kardashians, 2007 to 2021. The Barrymore acting clan may have shown more talent, but the Kardashians' real-life antics are far more popular, spinning off star after star like a puppy mill, said one comic. Next, shows that changed our views of women at home and at work. I Love Lucy, 1951 to 1957. America liked Ike, but it was Lucy we loved. The day after 29 million watched Eisenhower's inauguration, 44 million watched Lucille Ball's character rush to the hospital to give birth. The show, with TV's first inter-ethnic couple, Desi Arnaz, Ball's co-star and real-life husband, was Cuban-American, influenced all later sitcoms. The Mary Tyler Moore Show, 1970 to 1977. She could turn the world on with her smile, yet she was TV's first woman defined by work, not a man. So Lucy's infantile wah gave way to Mary Richards, verging on tears, authority challenging Mr. Grant. Maud, 1972 to 1978. Maud, B. Arthur, was the liberal answer to Archie Bunker, debating issues from abortion to mental illness to facelifts. Murphy Brown, 1988 to 98, and then again in 2018. Candace Bergen's TV news anchor was a boss, irritable, smart, unreasonable, uncompromising. The show commented on political events. When Vice President Dan Quayle criticized Murphy for being a single mom, it became a real-life controversy. And lastly, Veep, 2012 to 2019. Julia Louis-Dreyfus helped make unsympathetic heroines cool on Seinfeld, though TV women reached a new peak of cynicism and meanness in her hilariously self-serving Vice President Selina Meyer. Must-see miniseries. First is Roots in 1977. I remember this well. It had TV's biggest black cast ever. Execs feared it would fail, yet it was a smash. It also inspired a genealogy craze, boosted the miniseries genre, and solved national wounds by honoring African-American roots. 1983's The Winds of War. The saga of one family that was swept up by World War II was so ambitious, it took 6 years to get to the end of it. In its better 1988-89 sequel, War and Remembrance. Band of Brothers, 2001. Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg's adaptation of the best-selling book about the soldiers who landed on D-Day and captured Hitler's Eagle's Nest was, at the time, the costliest miniseries ever. And lastly, Angels in America, 2003. Tony Kushner's Pulitzer Prize-winning play dramatizing the AIDS crisis became an epic miniseries directed by Mike Nichols. The next is Who Doesn't Love a Good Mystery? Columbo, 1971 to 2003. Nobody could say just one more thing better than the rumpled Los Angeles gumshoe played by Peter Falk. Murder, She Wrote, 1984 to 1996. Angela Lansbury's crime writer turned amateur detective, Jessica Fletcher, is arguably the most beloved sleuth in TV history. America's Most Wanted, 1988 to 2012. The program helped nab more than 1,200 fugitives. 48 Hours, 1988 to the present. This crime news show continues to crack cases far and wide. Law and Order, 1990 to 2010. It was the smart pioneer of the zillion ripped from the headlines fictionalized crime investigation shows. Dateline, 1992 to the present, NBC's longest-running primetime show made news into real-life drama and hit pay dirt by focusing on true crime stories. And Big Little Lies, 2017 to 2019, a star-driven, nail-biting blockbuster, it featured rich women in Monterey, California, covering up a suspicious death. News shows that created or broke the mold. Meet the Press, 1947 to the present, TV's longest-running show. It set the standard for weekend opinion programs. Its panel format is now mimicked by nearly every news show. CBS Evening News with Walter Cronkite, 1962 to 1981. America's most trusted man never hid emotions. He wept at JFK's death and blurted hot diggity dog at the launch of Apollo 11. 60 Minutes, 1968 to the present. Inspired by print magazine, its then new format became a staple. And lastly, The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, 1999 to 2015. Voted America's most trusted newscaster since Cronkite, Stewart blended fact and lampoon and broke records for consecutive Emmys. That's all for today. Thank you for listening to AARP Magazine. You can listen to OWL Radio on our specially tuned radios or by streaming on your computer or smartphone. You may also listen at your convenience on our podcast page at www.owlradio.org. This program will be replayed at 9 p.m. this evening. If you need to contact OWL Radio, please call us at 210-829-4223. This is Jeff Chandler saying goodbye from OWL Radio.